Welcome to the deep dive. We've been digging through the sources you sent us on what might be the biggest crisis in modern tech.
It really is.
AI is basically starving the grid, and it feels like we're out of answers.
Well, that's the perfect way to frame it. The physics is actually fighting back. We're at peak processing power, but the cost, the energy cost, is just completely unsustainable.
Right.
We keep hearing about these giant trillion-parameter AI models, but the infrastructure to actually run them is buckling under the strain.
I saw one of the numbers you highlighted, the NVIDIA H100, which is the king right now.
Oh, yeah.
That one chip draws 700 watts.
700. That's a household appliance, like a microwave, running at full tilt 24/7. And every single data center needs thousands of them.
And this all confirms that the old playbook, Moore's Law, is, well, it's obsolete. The electron, our trusted messenger for 70 years, has just hit a physical wall.
It has. And that's what this deep dive is all about. It's this urgent global search for a solution. And the material you sent points right to this huge paradigm shift coming out of Tsinghua University in China.
A Tai Chi chip.
Exactly. And it promises to change the fundamental carrier of information from electricity to light.
Okay, so let's unpack this because this sounds monumental. Our mission today is to figure out why this photonic breakthrough is, one, a scientific masterpiece, two, a massive geopolitical game changer.
And three, and this is the big one.
The answer to the absolutely crippling energy appetite of AI.
We really have to start with the wall itself, the technical wall. For decades, the whole mantra was just miniaturization,
Smaller and smaller.
double the transistors every 2 years. And that gave us, incredible computation. But we have simply run out of physical room to keep doing that.
We've hit the limit. And this is what the industry politely calls the power density problem.
Politely is the word. It's not just about the total power draw, it's a concentration. We are stuffing so many transistors into such a tiny space that the thermal density of these chips,
Like H100s.
yeah, the H100s, they're running hotter per square millimeter than a nuclear reactor fuel rod.
That's an insane in comparison.
It is. So managing that heat is now the number one thing holding back AI growth.
So what's actually happening when we try to push past that limit, when we go below, say, 3 nanometers?
Ah, that's where the laws of quantum physics just say no. It's a phenomenon called quantum tunneling.
Okay.
At that tiny scale, the little electronic barriers that are supposed to hold the electrons in place, they just fail. The electrons literally start leaking out.
Leak, you mean they're actually escaping the circuit?
Exactly. They are tunneling through barriers they should not be able to pass. Think of them like ghosts phasing through walls.
Wait a minute. Is that why the jump to 3 nanometers and 2 nanometers took so long and cost companies like TSMC and Intel billions more than they expected? They were fighting quantum physics.
Precisely. They are fighting leakage. And the consequence of that leakage is massive instability, crippling heat loads, and you have to pump even more voltage in just to get a stable signal.
So the power consumption just spirals.
It becomes exponential, which confirms what we're seeing. These AI data centers are a utility-scale drain on power grids, and they need these enormous cooling systems just to stop from melting down.
So, okay. The electron is failing us. The old architecture has hit a dead end.
That's a perfect way to put it. It's like realizing the steam engine just can't go any faster and you have to invent something totally new.
So the question becomes, what's the new engine?
And the answer is clear. We have to change the carrier. We have to move from electrons to light, to photons.
Photons, optical computing. I think the analogy in your notes is the best way to grasp the sheer difference here. Forget the physics for a second. Just think about traffic.
It's the perfect way to visualize it. Information moving in a normal electronic chip is like driving in bumper-to-bumper city traffic.
Okay.
Electrons have mass. They collide with each other. That creates resistance. Resistance equals heat. And you get latency. You're paying a huge energy toll.
But switching to a photonic chip, that's like getting in a helicopter and just flying over all that traffic.
Or a hyperloop, yeah. Photons have zero mass. They travel at the speed of light, they have zero resistance, and critically, they generate zero heat.
That just wipes out the entire thermal and energy problem in one go.
It does. Now, the idea of optical computing, it isn't new. I mean, scientists have been talking about this for decades.
So what was the holdup? If it's so much better, why are we still using silicon?
The problem was always scalability. Building a functional, powerful, and scalable optical computer was seen as nearly impossible.
Why? What was the big roadblock?
It's a property of light itself, diffraction. Light loves to scatter. It's a diffuse. So trying to cram thousands of tiny controlled light beams onto a little chip Without them all scattering and mixing up the data, that was the architectural nightmare.
How do you stop light waves from bumping into each other?
And that is where the Tsinghua team's work becomes a masterpiece. They didn't just improve on an old idea, they invented a completely new way to manage light.
They didn't solve the problem, they went around it.
They went around it by getting rid of the problem of physical space. Their breakthrough has a very technical name. It's called distributed computing in synthetic frequency dimensions.
Okay, that is a mouthful. Let's try to simplify that. What does that actually mean, synthetic frequency dimension?
It means they stopped worrying about physical lanes on the chip. Instead of giving every light beam its own separate path, they use different colors of light, different frequencies, to carry different streams of data.
All in the same physical channel.
In the exact same physical channel, at the same time.
So you're running multiple calculations in the same place, but because they're different colors, they don't interfere with each other. You've created multiple computing dimensions where there was only one physical one.
You've essentially stacked the deck against diffraction. It can't happen. And they use this stacking to accelerate the one thing that modern AI needs most.
Matrix multiplication.
The beating heart of every large language model.
And the results they publish in the journal Science, I mean, the numbers are just jaw-dropping.
They're far beyond what any electronic chip can do. Let's just talk energy efficiency. Tai Chi hit 160 TOPS per watt.
Okay, let's cut that number in context. 160 trillion operations per second per watt. What's a normal chip?
Your cutting-edge electronic chips, they hover around maybe 1 to 5 TOPS per watt.
So this isn't 160% better. It is 160 times better.
It's a staggering leap. It's the difference between a car that gets 5 miles to the gallon and one that gets, well, over 800. It's a different category.
Wow.
And the chip actually worked. It showed over 91% accuracy on complex ImageNet classification, which was always the Achilles heel for previous optical concepts.
With efficiency numbers that big, this has to go way beyond the lab, which brings us to the whole geopolitical angle.
Yes. This is where Tai Chi becomes this incredible physics bypass. You know that the U.S. banned the export of the most advanced EUV lithography machines.
The ASML machines, right? The goal was to stop China from making sub-5 nanometer chips.
To cap their AI processing power by capping their ability to shrink circuits. A very logical strategy.
But that strategy was based on one assumption.
It was. It assumed you need tiny features to control tiny electrons. But here's the key. The wavelength of light is vastly larger than an electron's operating dimension. Hundreds of nanometers versus just a few.
So if you're building a chip to control light waves, you just don't need that incredibly fine 3-nanometer manufacturing.
You don't? Think of it like a printing press. To draw a tiny 3-nanometer line for an electron, you need a subatomic level brush. That's the EUV machine. But if you're just guiding a big light wave, you can use a much bigger brush.
So China can use older, mature manufacturing tech.
The sources mention 45 millimeter or even older equipment, which is widely available. And they can use it to build these photonic chips that, for AI tasks, can outperform a leading 3-nanometer electronic chip.
So the breakthrough architecture just rendered the world's most advanced semiconductor sanctions obsolete, for this specific type of processor, at least.
It's science finding a path around politics. And it raises a really profound question for policymakers. When you sanction one technology path, you create a massive incentive to find a brand new one.
And sometimes that new path is a leap forward.
Sometimes it's a revolution.
Okay, let's bring this down to earth for a minute, a reality check. Can I take a Tai Chi chip, drop it in my PC, and run, I don't know, GTA VA?
That's the necessary question. And the answer is no. Not yet, and probably never in its current form.
Why not?
Two big limitations. First, Tai Chi is an ASIC, an application-specific integrated circuit.
Meaning it only does one thing really well.
Exactly. It's like a high-end blender. It makes smoothies perfectly. But you can't use it to browse the web or boot an operating system. It only does neural network calculations.
It's an accelerator, not a general processor. And what about the software?
That's the second huge hurdle. Coding for light is fundamentally different from binary, from zeros and ones. Our entire programming world, all our tools, are built for electrons. The software ecosystem just isn't there yet.
So if it can't replace my CPU and the software is not ready, where does it fit in the, you know, the immediate future?
The very near future is almost certainly the hybrid future. We're not throwing away silicon.
Okay.
Your conventional electronic CPU will still handle the operating system, the logic.
Mm-hmm.
But an optical processing unit, an OPU, based on tech like Tai Chi, will handle the heavy AI lifting.
Like a GPU does for graphics today.
Exactly like that. It will be a specialized coprocessor, but one powered by light.
This brings us right back to where we started, the energy crisis. We've heard people like Sam Altman say things like, we need fusion energy for the next AI models.
Which basically means we're capped by the available power on the planet.
But this photonic tech, it completely changes that equation.
It does. If you can get an energy efficiency jump of, say, 100 times or maybe even 1,000 times for these specific workloads,
yeah,
the implications are just staggering.
We go from needing fusion reactors to power the next generation of AI to maybe running those same models locally.
That's the democratic effect. Imagine running an AI model way more powerful than GPT-4 right on your phone without the battery dying in 5 minutes.
And without needing a massive data center for every single query.
You save the power grid and you put advanced AI into every device on the planet.
The Tai Chi chip, then, it's a wake-up call. It proves that when you hit a physics wall, you don't stop. You just change the medium you're working with.
The dawn of the silicon photonic era.
It sounds like it's really begun.
And the sources are pretty clear this is happening fast. Within the next 5 years, we should expect to see graphics cards and AI accelerators adopting this hybrid electronic photonic architecture. The era of the electron doing all the heavy lifting is ending.
So for anyone listening who's a builder, a developer, or maybe even a student thinking about their career, this seismic shift means one thing.
It means the high-paying, high-impact jobs of the next decade are going to follow the light. If you're in computer science or electrical engineering, take photonics seriously.
It's moving from a niche academic field to the absolute mainstream.
It's not just a theory anymore. It's a massive market opportunity. And it's waiting for the next generation of engineers to build it.